This podcast is dedicated to helping you find your trail to a happier, healthier you by discussing topics like self-improvement, business, health and beauty, and random thoughts about life from a Christian perspective. I'm your host, Tasha Johnson.
So in this week's episode, I'm going to discuss what will I change today so I don't regret tomorrow. So last week, I had the opportunity to celebrate my 41st birthday, and it's not a milestone. Obviously, I reached the milestone birthday last year, and last year, I did an episode called What Advice Would I Give to My 20-Year-Old Self? And so obviously, you can go back and check that out. But this year, I wanted to do something a little different because, you know, I just have been really reflecting lately. It's amazing how fast these birthdays are going by. I literally remember like it was yesterday graduating from high school, you know? And now fast forward to now, it's just amazing to me how fast life is. And our lives really are like a vapor. And so I thought to myself, you know what? I want to make sure that I don't squander my time. Not that I was intentionally trying to squander my time before, but looking back on some situations that I've gone through in the past couple of years, I definitely could have handled things a lot better. And I allowed fear. I allowed laziness. I allowed impatience, all of these things to prevent me from really living the extraordinary life that Christ had planned for me at a much earlier age. I still feel like, not to say that I've arrived now by any way, shape, or form, but I feel like I'm a lot closer than what I've ever been. And quite frankly, I could have probably reached this standpoint had I not allowed those demons that I just mentioned, those emotions, fear, impatience, laziness, the list goes on, to get in the way. And so I want to make sure, you know, Lord willing, 20 years from now, if he allows me the opportunity to still be here, that I start making certain changes in my life right now that will put me in a position whereby 20 years from now, I don't have to be saying or feeling this way and quite frankly need to do another one of these videos, right? So I literally took time to create a list of 41, no, I was about to say 20, sorry about that, of 41 different things that I want to change right now. So I don't have to regret tomorrow. So I'm going to just start reading that list. I'll expand on some as I go. That way I've got the list right in front of me, guys, so I don't forget what I want to say. So the first one is realize that eternity starts now. And that is a phrase that my mom has been saying more and more to me. And I know she's said it to me when I was younger, but again, as you get older, certain things that your parents say to you when you were younger just hit home a little bit more different, right? So what I get from that phrase, and something that I constantly want to remind myself of, is that eternity starts now. So the decisions that I make, I want to be more intentional and conscientious of making sure, you know, that God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit are involved in that decision-making process instead of me just going out there making decisions and assuming that God will bless them. That's not the case. And many times I fell flat on my face when I did that, whether it be intentional or unintentional. That is something that I really want to focus on. So I want to make sure that I realize that the decisions that I make right now determine where I'm going to spend eternity. You know, and that is something that a lot of us don't realize. We're very short-sighted. I know for a fact I have been, and this is a constant battle. And that leads me to point number two. It's a battle because I've spent a good chunk of my life comparing myself to other people and not realizing or not not that I didn't realize, but I failed to remember that Jesus is the standard, right? And so I need to stop comparing myself because I didn't even do that right, y'all. I didn't even do that right. I was comparing my low points in life to someone else's highlight reel. And that's not right, right? So again, if you just don't compare yourself and focus on the standard, which is Jesus, you won't find yourself in that situation. Number three, don't give God my leftover energy. You know, spend more time with God. So I think we're all guilty of this, right? You know, we're especially at the beginning of the new year. We're like, I'm going to get it together. Me and God are going to be best friends. And come February, you know, you don't know where he's at, right? Hope that's not the case, but maybe that was just the case for me a good chunk of my life. I felt like I was kind of like, oh yeah, we're aligned, and didn't realize that we weren't. And that's because I wasn't spending enough time with him. So, at this point in my life, I try to be very strict on making sure that the morning time is his time. So I get up, pray, exercise, and make sure that that time is set for him. So I start the day with the correct tone. You know, I don't know what else is going to be, what else is going to be ahead of me for that day. So I want to make sure that I at least have, you know, set the tone. I did my part and I'm preparing myself to be able to face whatever it is that I will encounter that day. Number four. Always seek and listen to godly counsel. In this case, I'm very blessed to have a godly mom. She has always, always, always been there for me, encourages me, gives me the best advice. I have not always been bright in taking that advice, and I have oftentimes fallen flat on my face. You know, she's just always been there for me, and hopefully you have someone like that in your life. But even if you don't, you know, make sure the Bible is free. You have the ability to research and find out for yourself what he has in store for you. So again, if you have the ability to have that, seek out godly counsel and always compare what that person is telling you to God's word. And then you've got, you know, that godly counsel in the flesh. But in the event that you don't have that, you have the Bible. It's just, I've been double blessed, and, you know, God will seek, you know, I've been double blessed from the standpoint that I have that godly counsel in the flesh, but I know that once you start reading the word, he's going to send someone to you as well. Okay. So number five, wear my spiritual armor. This is something that I have not always done, and I have suffered the consequences of that. So if you're curious about what do I mean by my spiritual armor, if you read Ephesians 6, I believe verses 10 through 20, God goes into great detail letting us know how we have to protect our mind, our heart, you know, letting us know that all the different aspects of our lives that we need to protect. And we do that by wearing our spiritual armor, because Satan is like a roaring lion. He is just going around trying to figure out who he can deceive and devour. And you don't want to be one of those people. So that's why you got to make sure that you wear your spiritual armor. Number six, say my daily declarations every day before I start my day. So this is something that I recently started incorporating into my morning routine, which is my daily declarations. So this is something, these are just me affirmations of certain aspects, areas of my life that I want to improve, and basically telling the enemy he cannot have control of those areas. And so if you're curious a little bit more in how I go about doing that, I will leave this in the show notes. I have something that's called a prayer guide that you can take a look at. It's basically me saying it is written and then creating all these different affirmations with Bible verses about why Satan is not allowed to, you know, overcome me in those certain areas. So again, I've got examples of what that is. So if you take a look in the show notes, it's a free download. Feel free to just put your email address in and you can get a copy of what I mean by that. But it's basically affirmations with Bible verses in the areas that a lot of us, in my opinion, probably need more prayer in. So career, finances, just spiritual guidance in general. So in the event that you're not sure where to start, because sometimes it can be a little difficult to figure out, okay, like which Bible verse do I need to say, you know, speak against the devil with, you know, I've already done that for you. So this is kind of like a little mini shortcut, if you will, and then you can add on to it. And the reason why I start a lot of my affirmations with "it is written," because when Jesus emerged from the wilderness, Satan came after him. And what was Jesus' weapon to fight back with? It was his words. And so it was the Bible. It was scripture. So that's why I decided to do those affirmations as well. Number 7, I will not bite my tongue. I will speak my mind. And this one, I have really taken a lot of time to grow into. There have been so many times in my life where I would think about what I wanted to say and what I should have said. And then I would do something complete opposite because I was afraid of what the other person would think. I was literally putting my peace, my happiness, my confidence on hold because I was worried about how someone else would receive my words. And if you know me, you know that I'm a very nice person. You know that I'm funny. You know, I go out of my way to help people, but it should not be at the expense of my peace, happiness, joy, and self-esteem. And so, you know, this is one that I feel like I didn't want to be that stereotype, all the angry Black woman. And, you know, there's a stereotype out there about the angry Black woman because, you know, she speaks her mind, blah, blah, blah. And I don't buy into that reverse psychology. Okay. If I'm upset, I'm going to tell you that I'm upset. And I have every right to tell you that I'm upset because I'm a human being. And I don't want you to continue to have that behavior towards me because I'm not a doormat. And you will quickly realize that if you encounter me at this point in my life, because I realize that a lot of people will use that type of stereotype or not want you to speak their mind because that is bringing attention to the fact that their behavior is wrong. And a lot of folks don't want to be called out for being wrong. And again, I'm going to let you know that you are wrong because it's not going to come at the expense of my happiness. So that is number 7. Number 8, I will not accept other people's version of happiness as my own. And this is a big one, especially for my single ladies out there. For some reason in the church, a lot of emphasis is put on by Christian women, I hate to say this, by a lot of Christian women, like putting marriage and kids is like the ultimate prize. I think society has a tendency to put marriage and kids as the ultimate prize in life. And that is supposed to be the only version of happiness that exists. And so then when you see someone like myself who, you know, is a professional Christian woman, I work outside the home, I'm single, I don't have any kids, and I'm not married. Okay, well, what do we do with this person? What do we do? And they don't understand the fact that I'm living my life like it's golden and my life contradicts what they deem as happiness. And the sad thing is that you can have an extraordinary life with or without Mr. Right. And that's the whole purpose of me writing this book, because I'm going to dive into a lot of the experiences that I've had along with biblical content. Okay. So a lot of Bible verses will be incorporated into this as well. And, you know, stories about other folks that were single, that's going to be in the book as well. But the main thing that I want to stress is that there's more than one way to live an extraordinary life. Marriage and kids is not for everyone. Quite frankly, I would be open to the idea of marriage. Again, I'm not pining away for that. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But I definitely don't want any kids. Again, no shade whatsoever to the folks that do, but to each its own. That is not the calling that God has for me and has placed in my heart. So again, that's number 8. Number 9, I'm not going to act like a spoiled brat if things don't go my way. If it's not my way, then it's God's way. I think that's just self-explanatory. Not everything in life goes the way that we want. And the past couple of years have definitely shown me more and more that, you know, His way is better. I'm not going to lie. It is. Sometimes I'm just shaking my head, like holding on, because I don't understand a lot of what's been happening to me, especially the past 3 years. But again, I know that it's going to work out because I have past victories that I can rely on that prove that it's going to work out. So that's enough on that one. Number 10, despite my circumstances, I will commit to being all in with God. And I actually did an episode not too long ago. I'll leave that in the show notes. So that goes into a little bit more detail. I'm going to speed this up a little bit. Number 11, when my world falls apart, I will force myself to calm down and immediately pray to God. This is something that I have failed miserably at throughout a good chunk of my life, but I'm trying to get better at that. I realize that that is an issue because immediately when I'm faced with a problem, I get upset and I start doing the angry prayer. And what I need to do is calm down, because God causes all things to work together for our good. And I may not feel it right then and there, but if I calm down, it'll put me in a better position for Him to talk to me, because He's not going to shout. He's not going to shout. He already has told us that He talks in a still whisper. And if I'm too busy being hysterical and shouting, I'm not going to hear Him. And there have been many times where I have missed His voice completely altogether. And it delayed me being able to get out of particular situations because I missed His voice. Number 12, look beyond what I see. If all I see is what I see, then I'm not seeing all there is to be seen. Many times looks can be deceiving, and we need to look beyond that. And the only way you can look beyond that is by spending time in His Word and seeing maybe different areas that you need to improve in. And that may be why you're encountering some particular issues. Number 13, stop looking at titles. That is a big one. I think I've gotten better at this, but I still have my moments where I slip back into this. So sometimes, especially, you know, on the job, I still work in the corporate world. I have a 9-to-5. We may be working for folks that are a couple fries short of a happy meal. Okay, let me repeat that again. We may be working for folks that are a couple fries short of a happy meal. I think y'all know what I'm talking about. Many times we may think that we have to bend over backwards to please these particular folks, but we don't. If they are mistreating you, if you are stuck in a toxic environment, I'm not telling you to quit right away. You know, that is a decision you and God need to talk about. But what I am telling you is to get in alignment with God and figure out an exit strategy and tell that person off if need be. Let that person know how they're making you feel, regardless of the fact of whether they may be a president or a director or whatnot. It may be scary, especially if it's your first time doing that, but it is such a freeing experience. And that's something that I can definitely attest to, because at this point, I'm just like, whatever. But the reason why I put stop looking at titles is because just some personal things I'm going through right now that made me think about that. And this also goes for family too, guys. If someone, you know, if you've got a brother, sister, cousin, whatever, is mistreating you and refuses to apologize and they're not acting as that title, then you need to make sure that you cut them out of your life as well, because otherwise they're going to bring you down. Not everyone is meant to join you on your journey. All right. Number 14, I will not keep anyone or anything that does not add value to my life. So I kind of touched on that a little bit in the prior one. Again, if not everyone's meant to be on your journey. So as soon as I figure out who those folks are or, you know, activities that don't align with my values, they're out. Simple as that. Number 15, I will not reopen a door that God has closed. I think that one's kind of self-explanatory. So many times we get upset with God about why certain situations didn't work out. And we fail to realize that he never put us in that situation. We did, right? Number 16, accept the fact that I am a never-ending project. 17, I will stop playing what-if games. This is so difficult for me to do. Easier said than done, because I, by nature, for some reason, am a worry wart. I want to reduce the time it takes for me to get from A to Z. And so many times I will go in a downward spiral of trying to figure out, well, what if this happens? What if that happens? And then trying to come up with a game plan for each and every one of those objects that I think might happen or scenarios that might happen. And how would I react in those scenarios? And then by doing that, I don't realize that I'm actually creating fear, right? I'm creating fear that's putting me in a position of experiencing what I like to call analysis paralysis, basically meaning I am too afraid to make a decision, and whereby me just standing there is still making a decision, right? So if I stop playing the what-if games, if I believe God for what he said in Romans 8:28, that he's going to cause all things to work together for my good, then I'm going to be in a good spot, okay? Number 18, my feelings are not in charge. I will choose faith over feelings. Many times we may be upset, we may be frustrated, we may be scared, and these are all valid feelings, okay? These are all valid feelings. I'm not trying to take away from that. But if we let our feelings take charge in our ability to make a decision, we may make we'll probably end up making the wrong one, because many times our feelings are based on emotions like anger, fear, frustration. And so when you allow those type of emotions to take charge, you're placing yourself in a greater opportunity to experience not so pleasant consequences from the decisions that you're making. And you need to make sure that you're putting God first and when you're trying to make those decisions. So having faith in God, knowing that whatever you're experiencing at that point in time is something that 9 times out of 10, it's temporary. It is temporary. Okay. A lot of what we experience at that point in time, what we're feeling is temporary. And then when we calm down, you know, we take the blinders off. When we start focusing on God, putting him first, he's going to show us different signs over here and signs over there. And then you're going to finally realize, oh, that's why that happened. Because that is what's happened to me on more than one occasion. More than one occasion. So now I'm trying to be more conscientious and putting my faith over my feelings. Number 19, I will always prioritize my health because my body is a temple. Again, I'm one of those people, love to exercise. I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do drugs of any type. I'm definitely not that type that it will, jeopardize my body in any way, shape, or form. Number 20, go to bed early so I can wake up early. And number 21, exercise in the morning. I am a morning person. Literally, by the end of the day, I'm kind of like the Energizer Bunny. Like my energy, my battery is like totally drained by the time we get to around like 7 or 8 o'clock at night. So I try my best to make sure that whatever it is that requires a lot of brain power and energy, I do that in the morning. 22, I'm going to go for walks during lunch. So this is a big one for me because I need that break. Okay. I am not a robot. And working from home, sometimes you get in a routine, because I've been working from home for several years, definitely over 10 plus years, I've been working from home. So a lot of times I'm very productive. So I can literally sit at my desk for like 5 or 6 hours and like not move. I'm just so engrossed in what I'm working on. And so I've made a very conscientious effort to make sure that I take breaks, especially during lunch. I'm going to go for a walk. I'll either eat before that walk or after the walk, but I'm going to go for a walk. And then 23, take breaks away from my computer. So during the day, I've not only do I go for a walk during lunch, but during the day, I've tried to incorporate little mini breaks, like maybe 5 minutes. Okay, just looking away from the computer, just getting up, doing some stretches. I realize this is a lot easier said than done because I work from home. And if you're in an office, you know, I know during the stretches thing is kind of weird, but you know, you still have the ability to maybe walk down the hall or walk downstairs, just do something to get some steps in. And you see, I got my little Fitbit here. This actually does a great job of reminding me on the hour, hey, you haven't moved. And I'll be completely honest, there have been times where I've ignored it. And I regret that when I do that. So I'm trying to get better at that. Number 24, working late will not be a habit. There have been times where I've had, you know, throughout my career to work overtime, and some seasons are busier than others. But my motto is that my 9-to-5 funds my life. It is not my life. So I'm not about to sit up here and be one of those people that gives their entire life to the corporation. That's not this girl. It's not this girl. You are going to get a full day's work for a full day's pay. Once it is my shut off time, that is my time. That is my time to recharge, work on projects that I'm passionate about that will, you know, put me in a better position to help out more people in the future. I'll just leave it at that because I got a couple projects I'm working on right now. Number 25, it's okay to plan for the future, but I will not allow that to rob me of enjoying life right now. That is a huge one for me because, again, type A, I'm always planning. And here's the funny thing. The major plans that I had in store for my life have not worked out. And I'm glad that they didn't because God actually made it better. It's like, honestly, the life that I had planned, and again, no shade to anyone in any way, shape, or form, but just the life that the so-called ultimate prize, the marriage, the kids, the white picket fence, all that stuff, that was what I had planned because I was using my mom as the example. And come to find out, and I talk about this a little bit in my book, and if you download that, I've got chapter 1 in the introduction of the book, that'll be in the show notes, but I talk about that a little bit in the book, that come to realize I was so jealous of her life that I didn't realize that she was like not jealous, but I was living the life that she always envisioned for herself. So it's kind of funny, and I'm going to do an episode on this, how the grass is always greener on the other side. It looks like it's greener, but it's really not. And, we still got to mow the grass. Okay. Nothing wrong with either side. Especially in this case with the example I just used, but you can't project someone else's idea of happiness as your own, right? And so all of this time, I thought that that was the life that I was supposed to have. And God was like, no, I have something else in store for you that's much, that is specifically designed for me. And I'm so glad that my life turned out the way that it did because I'm just really excited that it turned out the way that it did, you know. Still, I would be open to marriage if that were on my plate, but I know that I wouldn't want to have kids. And it's God is making me, focusing on me being content and happy. And he knows that's all that I've ever wanted was just to be content and happy. And so that is what I am. And I will forcefully remove anything and anyone that prevents me or it even attempts me to feel otherwise. All right. So that's that one. Let's see. Where am I on this list? I kind of mentioned this one already, but number 26, remember, my job funds my life, but it's not my life. 27, Diversify my income. This is a huge one. So in the event that you are just working your 9 to 5, by no means am I trying to coerce you in any way, shape, or form to subscribe to the hustle, hustle mentality, because quite frankly, if you are working and trying to better improve yourself and you don't include God in the picture, all of that's going to be in vain. Hence why the name of my podcast is Hustle and Faith, because that's exactly where it's coming from. I've always had a variety of side hustles. I've always had more than one gig. And, you know, I really did that because those were my passion projects and I never was really able to use my creativity on the job. So I wanted to make sure that I could do that outside of the job and, you know, it enabled me to, it placed me in a position to make additional income as well. So that was great, but I don't want it to be in vain. And so that is where the faith comes in. Everything I'm trying to do is trying to do it by putting God first. Because again, if you're just working, accumulating wealth and all this other stuff, it's in vain if God's not included in the picture. Okay. But getting back to the diversify my income, these 9 to 5s, as you can see, you don't need me to tell you this. You are expendable and a lot of these companies will get rid of you in a minute. So what are you doing to better yourself in the future? Of course, putting God first is the first thing that you should be doing. But again, God also needs you to be taking some steps, okay, to show that you're working with him. So are you continuing your education? Are you placing yourself in a position to create some sort of exit strategy if you're in a toxic work environment? What are you doing physically to show God that you have faith in him that he can use to move you on to your next adventure? And that's how I kind of view my positions, like my 9 to 5s, as an adventure. You know, it's ups and downs. And, you know, at some point in time, you move on, right? Either through layoffs or you have, you know, he places you in a position to just move on by putting you in another place, right? So 28, dream big, then work towards that dream, knowing God will produce the results. 29, collaborate more on projects that will have a lasting impact on others. 30, stop being consistent in the wrong things. I'm going to take a moment to talk about that one. So sometimes, you know, we keep placing ourselves in positions, right, that we had no business being in, but we keep finding ourselves there, right? What are the triggers that are placing you in that position? So for example, if you're trying to lose weight, you know, and you're consistently finding yourself gaining weight, what is triggering that? Is it that you're overworked at the office and you're stressed out, and so you're stress eating, you're snacking more than you should be? You know, that's something you're being consistent in, but it's wrong, right? So you want to make sure that you're figuring out what are the triggers that are causing you to be consistent in the wrong things. 31, increase the number of books that will help me improve my mind, body, and soul. Definitely been doing a lot of that. I got some good books that I've been reading and some podcasts that I've added to my rotation. 32, I will meditate in silence. This one is hard for me because I am so energetic and I'm always on the go. So to force me to sit in silence is kind of weird. It's something that I've been trying to increase. And still going to do it. 33, make time to go on vacation at least once a year. And just so you know, when I use the term vacation, that could be a staycation too, guys. And, you know, I've been blessed to live in one of the greatest cities in the world, Chicago. We have so much to do. And quite frankly, during the summertime, I really don't have to go on vacation because there's so much going on in this city. It's like a mini vacation in and of itself. Make time to get away completely, you know, unplug. You know, I've been one of those people. I tell my boss, listen, if it's an emergency, give me a call. Other than that, I'm out. Like, I'm not checking email. I'm not doing any of that. Because, again, you are expendable. And quite frankly, you deserve time off. So when I take my PTO, it really is prepare the others. Okay, prepare the others because I'm not going to be here. Number 34, I will look for opportunities to leave a legacy. And that's where this podcast comes into play. I really do want to leave a legacy behind, and I'm very passionate about helping people, especially Christian women, find their voice and live an extraordinary life. And this podcast is one way. The book that I'm working on is another opportunity to do so. And then I've got my consulting firm where I help out other folks that may not have the technical skills. They may want to start a podcast. They may want to create a course, but they're allowing their, not having that particular skill set to stop them. And I don't want that to be the case. So that's where Starring You comes in. That's my consulting firm. That's where this podcast comes into play, the book. And also I do voiceover work. So, you know, some folks may not like the sound of their voice. Some folks may want more of an American accent. I don't know. I've worked on a variety of projects, so to each its own. But in the event that you don't want to use your own voice and my voice works for you, you know, happy to help. Let's see here. We're pushing along through this list. I am going to make time to learn Spanish. Make more time to learn Spanish. So I understand Spanish better than I speak it. And that is something that I want to change. I have been trying to be fluent for the longest time I have the best Spanish teacher in the world. Her name is Juliet, and she's just awesome, awesome, awesome. And actually, I'll leave her information in the show notes as well, because if learning a language is something that's been on your list and Spanish happens to be that particular goal, she's definitely someone that's going to help you reach it. And my mom's taking Spanish with her too, so that's pretty cool. 36, make more time to enjoy my hobbies. Definitely doing that. 37, stop allowing money to dictate my happiness. 38, stop complaining about things I cannot change. 39, remove the word can't and replace it with can. 40, reduce my sugar intake so I can lose weight. Not gonna lie, that one's kind of hard. I've got a sweet tooth. I'm not obese by any means, but I know that I could stand to lose a couple pounds. So that's my focus. And last but not least, don't wait until I'm down to go to my praise file. Visit my praise file once a month to see how far I've come. Seeing the progress I've made will encourage me to keep going. And so some of you may be like, what's a praise file? So what I do, I actually have a folder. I've got this folder filled with nothing but, hey, Tasha, thank you so much. You know, this really helped me in XYZ. It is basically a folder filled with folks thanking me for helping them, supporting them, just giving me words of encouragement. And yes, a lot of the reviews that I've gotten, I read every message that I receive. So yeah, and sometimes I take screenshots of things, just so like on those days that I'm feeling down or feeling like, okay, what am I doing? Does this even matter? You know, am I talking to myself? There were so many times I wanted to stop this podcast because it felt like I was talking to myself. And here I am 6 years later, I realized that no, I wasn't. So, you know, those messages really do, they really do serve as an opportunity to, you know, encourage me to keep going. That's what it is. You know, sometimes you need that, right? So I truly hope this list of that I've gone over today is of service to you. I hope that it encourages you. I hope it causes you to stop and pause and think about what will you change today so you don't regret tomorrow. These are the things that I am planning on changing today so I don't regret tomorrow. And I'm curious to see, what are some of the things that you're going to change so you don't regret tomorrow? I'd love to know. Feel free to hit me up. This is actually a video. That's I probably could have added this as number 42, but I'm going to start trying to create a couple more videos because I really like hiding behind the audio. But, you know, I've been told, and I know videos are a lot more engaging, so I'm going to try and do some more of those. Once again, thanks so much for your support. I truly appreciate it. And be sure to let me know, what will I change today so I don't regret tomorrow? I want you to ask yourself that and leave comments if you're watching this on YouTube. Feel free to hit me up at Hustle and Faith on any of the social media platforms. Really appreciate your support.
Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. If you enjoy listening to Hustle and Faith and would like to support the show, please consider sharing it with your friends, rate or leave a review, donate, or make a purchase at Starring You Crew, our fitness apparel shop. Remember, if you're everything to everyone, then risk being no one. You never know who you will inspire. See you in the next episode.